So consumers around the world are feeling the bite of rising prices, but those consumers themselves play a key role in charting the future of inflation.
That's basically what people do in their everyday life without thinking about it. But it's hugely important for economists, and ultimately it affects the economy as a whole.
Today, we hear about a study that reveals a surprising divide between what experts think and consumers believe drives some pretty important economic trends.
And in particular, while experts thought that an increase in interest rates would decrease inflation, households mostly thought that an increase in interest rates would actually lead to a rise in inflation. My name is Carlo Pizzinelli, and I'm an economist at the research department of the IMF.
Carlo Pizzinelli is also the author of an article in Finance and Development about how consumers think about inflation, and it's based on his research with Peter Andre of the Brick Institute, Christopher Roth of the University of Cologne, and Johannes Wolford of the University of Copenhagen. Journalist Rhoda Metcalf sat down with Carlo to learn more about his study and the deeper workings of the collective consumer mind.
So in recent years, governments have begun following very closely consumer expectations for the economy, especially around inflation. And in your recent F&D article, you talk about how inflation can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if people expect inflation. Can you explain that?
Yes. So to give you an example, imagine that households expect prices to rise between now and next year. That means that some items that they might want to purchase might be more expensive next year, and hence they would rather purchase those items today. That means that the higher demand for those items will increase their prices, and hence inflation will in fact rise based on the expectations of its increase between now and the future.
Yeah. So basically, the fact that you think the prices are going to go up make the prices go up.
Exactly.
Right. And so that obviously is important in terms of policymakers, because they don't necessarily want the consumers to be pushing inflation to get higher.
Yes, exactly. And even more importantly, understanding how those expectations are formed is helpful for policymakers if they want to use communication or other tools to steer those expectations and make sure that their policy actions have the intended effects.
Right. So, I mean, this area of study of trying to understand what people's expectations for the future are in terms of the economy, is this something that people have been studying for a long time?
Yes, it's a fairly established field within behavioral economics. And over time, there are a number of empirical facts that have been established. So, for instance, we now know that in general, households tend to expect future inflation to be higher than what it eventually turns out to be, meaning that households tend to overpredict inflation over the 1 year or 2 year ahead horizon. And often households also misperceive current inflation, and they think that it's higher than what it usually is. Households also tend to have pretty fixed views about inflation, meaning that they don't update their views and their expectations as often as experts who do that as a job.
I was wondering also, I mean, when people have gone through major shocks in their life, like say coming out of wars, out of World War II, for example, when there were periods of rationing, I can only imagine that really difficult experience like that could mold a population's expectations for many years.
Yes, that's right. And there are some studies that, for instance, look at the impact of the OPEC oil crisis in the 70s. And in particular, often households extrapolate the broader increase in the prices of all consumer goods from the specific price of one good that they're familiar with, like gasoline and coffee. And for instance, in the 1970s, oil prices were rising fast due to the OPEC embargoes. And even today, it seems that people who experienced those fast increases in oil prices, even today, they tend to be more susceptible to the price of gasoline when they make a connection between how the price of one item, which is gasoline, goes up and how the price of all items might be going up.
So when they see the oil prices going up, they're expecting everything to go up. They're expecting inflation to really rise across the board.
Exactly. And that's a broader finding in behavioral economics, that some experiences that people have lived through in their formative years, so when they were young, tend to stick with them and tend to shape the way they form expectations or some of their values for the rest of their lives.
I know that you've been working with a group of economists in Europe, right, who've tried to drill down even deeper into households' economic beliefs. So what did the study find? Is there anything surprising?
Yes. So in a recent study that I co-authored with Peter Andre from the Brick Institute, Chris Roth from the University of Cologne, and Johannes Wolfert from the University of Copenhagen, we asked the question, how do non-expert and regular people think about the way the economy works? And how do they factor in new information about a given macroeconomic shock?
Right.
And the main idea behind the study is the following. If we provide people with the same information about the current state of the economy and about a given macroeconomic shock that is going to affect the economy over the next year, then from the way their expectations changes, we can understand how they factor that information in and how they think that shock will propagate through the economy. And hence, we can uncover what we call their subjective model of how the economy works.
Right. So you want to understand better why they have these expectations and not just what the expectations are.
Exactly. But also, we want to see how that expectation changes when we give them new information. So we basically, over a three-year horizon between 2019 and 2021, we ran a survey of about 6,000 households in the U.S. That are representative of the U.S. population. And to each household, first we gave them information about the current state of the economy. So what is the current unemployment rate? What is the current inflation rate? And we asked them for a baseline prediction of what inflation and unemployment were going to be over the next 12 months. Then we gave them information about a hypothetical scenario in which a certain macroeconomic shock, like a change in the Federal Reserve Bank's interest rate, or an increase in government spending, a rise in taxes, or an increase in the oil prices.
Right.
And then we asked them again what their new expectation for unemployment or inflation was going to be.
Right.
Then for a comparison, we also asked the same question to about 1,000 experts. The findings were surprising because we found that for some of these shocks, so in particular for the interest rate shock, experts and households had very different views. And in particular, while experts thought that an increase in interest rates would decrease inflation, which is the consensus in economic theory and in the empirical evidence, households mostly thought that an increase in interest rates would actually lead to a rise in inflation.
Which is contrary to what the theories are.
Yes. So we then developed a second wave of surveys where we tried to dig deeper into this. And in particular, we asked households what they had in mind when they were making those predictions.
So, I mean, was there logic to their thinking?
Absolutely. But what we found is that households predominantly thought about channels that were different from the channels that experts mostly thought about. And in particular, while experts often thought about what we can call demand-side channels, which is how monetary policy would affect households' decisions about saving and consumption, the general population most often thought about this supply-side channel that affects businesses, in which if businesses want to invest and spend more on capital, they might want to take out a loan from the banks. So if interest rates rises, their costs for repaying these loans would increase, and firms would ultimately pass on this cost to consumers by increasing prices.
So, I mean, this is kind of an interesting idea, because you think when the central banks decide to increase interest rates, they think that the outcome is going to be a drop in inflation. But if the consumers have a different idea, it may not lead to the drop in inflation that the central bank is hoping for, right?
Yes. So that does pose a sort of conundrum, because part of the role of a policy move by central banks is also to affect expectations However, we can also see that if policymakers were to use a communication that tries to steer that expectations the right way, then that inconsistency might be somewhat mitigated. And in the final part of our study, that's exactly what we try to look at, where we run a small experiment in which some of the respondents are prompted to think more about the impact that monetary policy has on households' decisions to consume and save before they have to make their prediction for unemployment and inflation. And we see that among these respondents that have been prompted to think about the impact of monetary policy on households, there is a higher fraction of them that make an ultimate prediction for inflation that is in line with the prediction of experts that inflation would fall in response to a tightening of monetary policy.
So in other words, if people are given better information, they're more likely to come to the conclusions that the experts come to.
Exactly. And that that information perhaps shouldn't be just about the ultimate effect of the policy, but also about the channels through which the policy affects the economy. Obviously, our study is very preliminary, but there is also a chance that the best communication is more targeted to different groups and hence can play particularly to what elements of the economy certain individuals are most responsive or most attentive to.
Right. You have to cater your message to the population that you're talking to.
Exactly. And possibly utilize a wide variety of ways to communicate.
So I'm curious, why were you drawn to this particular area of study? I mean, why do you care about it?
Well, first of all, this study started back in 2018 when I was still in grad school or was about to finish grad school. And two of my co-authors did grad school with me, Johannes and Chris. And they are behavioral economists, and I'm obviously a macroeconomist as I work at the IMF. But in grad school, you know, as friends, you often talk about your research. And Johannes and Chris were already working on a research agenda on households' expectations. And as we talked more, we realized that it would be interesting to work in this growing area in which households' expectations eventually matter for macroeconomic outcomes. I personally find this interesting because, I mean, obviously I work as a macroeconomist, so I understand from a theoretical viewpoint the importance of expectations, but I think it's very fascinating to see how that is ultimately something that households do every day, and they acquire information every day as they read the news and watch television. And obviously they're not thinking that that information is going to factor into some decisions, and that some people, on the other hand, are going to be looking at some aggregate numbers in which those decisions are ultimately factored in. But that's basically what people do in their everyday life without thinking about it. But it's hugely important for economists, and ultimately it affects the economy as a whole.
You know, so what do you think that policymakers can take away from the results of this study? And do you think that central bank leaders, policymakers, care more about what consumers think now than, say, 10 years ago?
That's a very hard question. I think, obviously, our study is very preliminary, and there would be more evidence that is needed to make some recommendations. But I think what comes out of it is the importance of communication and the ability with the right communication to steer expectations more effectively. And in terms of your second question, I would say obviously policymakers have always cared about consumers. There is perhaps now a greater attention to make sure that the communication reaches those consumers rather than just reaching experts. And many central banks over time have increased their presence, for instance, on social media, trying to make those press statements more accessible to people who are not necessarily experts in the field.
Okay. Carlo Pizzanelli, thank you so much for telling me about this study and giving us a better understanding of the importance of consumer expectations on the economy.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you and to have an opportunity to talk about my research.
That was Rhoda Metcalf speaking with Carlo Pizzanelli, author of Hall of Mirrors, How Consumers Think About Inflation, published in the September edition of Finance and Development. Check it out at imf.org/FND. And look for other IMF podcasts on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I'm Bruce Edwards.
And I'm Rhoda Metcalf.
Thanks for listening.